Want to know how to make decisions that will impact millions of dollars in your lifetime? Stay tuned for today's Money Talk with Paul Merriman. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It's a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. This issue is what brought Money Talk with Skylar Fleming to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have time to research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance, but that's where this podcast, Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. I'm here to do the research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance. The goal is to simply get us talking about money, so let's get talking. Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. In today's episode, we're talking with Paul Merriman about investing and how young adults can get started. Do young adults have enough time, or why even bother with talking about investing when there's so much going on in your life? There's so many other things to think about. Should you think about a target date fund? Should you think about bonds in your portfolio? Where do you even start? What is a target date fund? There's a lot of great things that we're going to be able to take from today's episode with Paul Merriman, with his years of experience teaching people about investing. There's going to be a lot of great takeaways from today's episode. Of course, you can find links to Paul Merriman's website and his book that we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes. We have a fantastic conversation coming up for you today. But first, the money talking points for today's episode are: how can I get started today with investing? And two, do you need bonds in your portfolio? With the money talking points in mind, let's get right into today's episode. Hello and welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have Paul Merriman. Paul, would you mind introducing yourself for everyone?
Well, I'd be happy to. I'm a retired, actually I've retired about three times, but this time it's for real. And I spend my life educating young people and then some old people as well on how to do better on their investments. My focus is wanting to make a do-it-yourself investor better. And I've written articles, I've written books, I write for Market Watch, I do podcasts and videos, I teach every chance I have, and I actually underwrite a university course at Western Washington University here in the state of Washington. So I'm just a teacher, and I'm loving every second of it. So it's a joy awesome. To be here with you, because I can tell you have a real desire to teach others, and that's terrific.
Yeah, my whole origin story is that many years ago, I was working at a credit union and found that people were finding themselves in situations where they just weren't taught any different. So we just need to be talking about it so we all do better.
Yeah, you're right. And you're gonna get better. I know I started when I was a lot older than you are. And in the early years, it was kind of tough going. But the more you do it, the better you're going to get, the more you're going to know. And I wish you the very best.
Well, thank you. Yeah, like you said, we're all getting better as we go on. So let's just keep talking about money. It's very likely you've heard Paul's name before. He's been on many other podcasts that I listen to that I recommend. So I'm really excited for this conversation, but let's jump right into it.
Good.
My audience, I am a young adult. So there's many things going on in my life. Some people call it the messy middle. There's all sorts of terms for it that you're starting to get into. With so many things going on in my life and other young adults' lives, why bother even thinking about investing?
Well, I mean, we know that the earlier we start thinking about it, the more success we're going to have. It is an interesting process, because as an investor, you're starting a business. And I've started a number of businesses, and they start small and they grow. And typically, as a business person, you make a lot of mistakes. And you learn from them, but sometimes it really takes quite a while to be able to leverage those mistakes. The beauty in educating young people and helping them get it right from day one is they can start a business and they can grow that business over a lifetime and hardly ever make a mistake. if they take the right steps. Of course, I think that's what you're trying to teach people to do, is to do the right things. I think Warren Buffett makes the point, you know, why make mistakes or learn from your own mistakes when you can learn from the mistakes of others? And boy, have I made them, and there's no reason for you to make them as well.
Yeah, when you hear people talk about, hey, this is a better path to start investing, like maybe index funds versus single stocks, it's because they've been down that road. So maybe you got to listen to those people that are dishing out that advice and think about it.
Well, and I think, Skyler, that it's important to understand the source of whatever information you're going to accept as your way of doing business. Because what I found was the only real trustworthy source of information was the academic community. It's Wall Street that wants you to invest in individual stocks. It's Wall Street that wants you to pay a commission and pay high expenses. As a matter of fact, I think even in your background, you did some work with, took some coaching classes.
Dave Ramsey,
of course. And you know something? Some of the things he teaches are so valuable, and some of them are so very, very wrong. And this is where I think we have to be really picky, is who are we going to accept as our source of information? And I'm hoping that you're going to be teaching the right stuff from day one. And I think that's going to make a difference in other people's lives.
Yeah, definitely. What I'm learning is influenced by a lot of other podcasts that have been out there for years, just to try to bring together this one source. My introduction to my podcast says, I'm here to do the research and put those things into one source for everyone else. But you should still take what I'm saying even and do a little bit more of your own research. It's always important we form our own opinions.
I totally agree. And I do think my latest book is entitled We're Talking Millions, 12 Simple Ways to Supercharge Your Retirement. And what I've tried to do in that book, and it's the same thing I think you're trying to do, you take people up to a fork in the road, stocks versus bonds, or mutual funds versus individual stocks, or load funds versus no load funds. You take people up to a fork in the road that we know they're going to face and try to give them the basic information that would help them understand, why would I buy a no-load fund? Why would I buy an index fund? Why would I pick stocks over bonds for the long term? And you and I know there are only a handful of decisions that you have to make to be a successful investor long term.
Yeah. So the earlier we can get people to those forks, like you said, help coach them on the multiple decisions that can be made. And if you can get on that right direction of the fork earlier, like you said, we're talking millions. Maybe even once the economy keeps growing, once like my grandkids are listening to this, maybe things are big enough in the billions. And that's what we're all talking about.
You know, with inflation, yeah, it could be billions. I have to share with you, when I teach high school classes, I talk about the impact of inflation, and I will ask the students how much it costs for a piece of bubble gum. And they'll tell me 15, 20 cents, some amount that is just outrageous, because I only paid a penny for it when I was a kid. And then I ask, what do you think a 5-cent piece of bubble gum will cost in 2,000 years at 3% inflation? Because 3% inflation is a kind of a commonly accepted level of inflation. And we start guessing, and I get them up to about $1 million, and then I give them the real answer is $2.3 trillion. So that is the impact, one, of the long term, and two, just a little bit of a return. Forget about getting 10% stock market. So it is who knows what a dollar will buy when you're as old as I am, and I just turned 80, Skyler, so you're ahead of me by what? Yeah. You're in your mid-20s?
I'm 25, so yeah.
Yeah, what an advantage you have.
Yeah, yeah, it's awesome. I love learning early and learning now. I'm able to, even now, I've been investing for a couple of years, and like, I'm even starting to see some of those numbers work just in little amounts, but it's still so exciting to say, hey, this is money that my money's making. And I can't imagine in 60 years what that number is going to look like.
So I'm curious because I'm trying to get young people to invest a certain way. And I want to say that you and I did not discuss what I'm about to ask you so that you have no idea what's coming at you here.
No.
How much of your portfolio do you have in small cap value?
I wouldn't know like an exact number, whatever like a total market index fund would have.
Okay. Can we talk about this for a few minutes?
I've heard you mention this before, so I'm excited to talk about this.
Well, let me tell you why I mentioned it. I don't care whether you put your money in the S&P 500 or the total market index. They historically have almost exactly the same return. Recently, the S&P 500 has been doing better. But the total market index, people think that because it includes some small and some value and some mid-cap, that it is different than the S&P 500. And the reason it is not is because it is cap-weighted. And so the big companies really are going to control, are going to drive the return that you get, not the small companies. And the interesting thing is that, yes, you do get some small cap value inside of that total market index, I think about 3%. But then they throw in 3% of what is small cap growth. Small cap growth has been the worst asset class to invest in over the last 95 years. So here's what we know. If you want to have the impact of small cap value, okay, put 90% into the total market index. Put it in the S&P 500. It's not going to make any difference. But take the other 10% or 20% and put it in small cap value. And the fund I recommend is AVUV. Avanta Small Cap Value. Now, let me tell you what happens. Every 10% small cap value you add to that portfolio, you're going to add about 0.4 to 0.5% of a more return over time. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal. And in fact, for my grandchildren, 50-50 S&P 500 small cap value. So I'm going to encourage you and your followers to dig a little deeper into this small cap value. And in fact, I write about it in a book we offer free. We're talking millions. The PDF is available to all of you. In fact, if you wanted to, you could put a link to that free book in the notes there, Skyler. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a couple questions that come to mind, and one thought that I think is interesting, is you're talking about having a portfolio of stocks and stocks, where maybe people are like, what's my balance between stocks and bonds? You're saying, what's your balance between that total market and small cap? Why? Where do bonds fit in, maybe?
Well, here's where bonds fit in. They do not fit in at all in your portfolio as a young person, mm-hmm. if it's long-term money. Every 10% in bonds that you have in your portfolio, you are reducing your long-term return by about a half of 1%. So if you start adding bonds because you're looking to defend against a bear market, you've got it backwards. Mm-hmm. Bear markets are good for young people. That gives you a chance to put your money into those asset classes that are likely to do better for the long run. Remembering, the worst ever 40-year period for the S&P 500 or total market index, whichever way you want to go, was an 8.9% compound rate of return. The worst 40 years for bonds, 1.6%. So I don't care whether you look at the best or the worst of the stock returns are better than the best of the bond returns. But young people sometimes are attracted to bonds because there's very little risk. That's exactly the way it works. When you don't take any risk, you don't get any return historic. And so for young people, way more. I'm 80 and I'm 50-50 stocks and bonds. I've got those bonds in there because I don't want to go down 30, 40, 50% in a really bad year. But for a young investor, to be able to be buying dollar cost averaging into a portfolio of good companies that will likely grow for the long term, don't pass up that opportunity to buy those things cheaper. That is to your advantage.
Awesome. I'm definitely an all stock kind of guy. So I like hearing that my confirmation bias goes off a little bit when you tell me stick with stocks. So I love that. I completely agree with what you said. I wanted to make sure our listeners heard that as well from someone else other than me. I'm telling invest in index funds and stocks and things like that, especially while we're young.
Well, and I think that the question for your listeners and for you too, and as a matter of fact, is how deep do we want to dig into the numbers? Because at the end of the day, it's the numbers that drive your returns. It's not what you think you should get or what what you are owed somehow. They're going to give you what they're going to give you. And what we have is we have decades and decades, going back to the 1920s, where we can look at returns 1 year at a time. We can see how often large cap beats small or small beats large. Guess what? Small beats large more than large beats small. We can see growth versus value. And we can also see something else that's pretty powerful. If you took a portfolio, let's say your total market index. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know how that return looks 1 year at a time. I've seen it on paper. I know how it compares to other asset classes like large cap value or small cap blend or small cap value. But here's the magic. If I put a portfolio together that's 25% large cap blend, 25% large cap value, 25% small cap blend, 25% small cap value, the compound rate of return for the last 95 years is about 2% more per year. Now, that's part one. Part two, it is less volatile than the S&P 500 or the total market index. Mm-hmm. So with good diversification, it's not just about diversification amongst a whole bunch of different companies. It's also about diversification of equity asset classes. And the sooner young people understand that, the sooner they're going to find their way to strategies that are likely to give them better returns at lower risk.
Fantastic. I love it. I'm glad we got right into that. I was hoping we would touch base on that because, like I said, I've heard you mention your small cap piece on other podcasts. So thank you for bringing that up. I had a couple other questions that I'd love to get to that I think weigh on my mind as a young adult, if I think about myself a few years ago. Let's talk about target date funds. Once we realize I'm thinking, got my first 401k, I see these target date funds for 2065 or whatever. Are they a good way to invest? That way I don't have to think about it.
Well, you just the magic words, so I don't have to think about it. I will address in a couple of months a whole bunch of seniors at Western Washington University. And I can tell you from past experience, I will ask them, how many of you want to tend to the necessary decision-making to manage your money for a lifetime? And about maybe 1% of the people in attendance will say, I want to do that. And by golly, if you don't want to really dig in and understand how the investment process works, the target date fund is the best investment product ever developed. Now, that's the good news. I've got some bad news. They include bonds right out of the gate. When you're 21 years old and you put money into a target date fund, they're going to have a little bit in bonds. You don't need bonds. I said that before. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the portfolio, they are going to invest on your behalf. And the only thing they want to know from you, that will tell them what to do for the next 40 years is tell them what year you want to retire. Because what they will do if you go into a 2065 target date fund, they'll manage it just like a pension fund manager would for a pension. They'll manage that fund and do the right things. They'll add fixed income later in your life. Now, other than that lousy 10% they put in for those first 20 years, they will later start adding more fixed income when you're in your 40s. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. But here's the evidence. And I love when there's good academic evidence. Mm-hmm. Wharton did a study along with Vanguard. They looked at 1.2 million 401k plan accounts. They looked at some that didn't have any target date funds, people who decide they knew how to better invest mm-hmm. and make the right decisions. They also looked at people who did have only target date funds. That's all they had in their portfolio. So they never had to make one decision except when I want to retire. And they found that those people that only use target date funds made about 2.3% a year more. Their expectations were that much more because those people who were doing it themselves were putting a lot of money in cash. They were market timing. They were trying to chase recent performance. And when the market went down, they got scared and they bailed out. So I think if you really don't know what you're doing mm-hmm. and aren't willing to do the study time, I mean, we're talking about a decision that's going to change your financial life. And if you won't learn to do it right, the target date fund is the best probability for getting it right that I know. But the last half of my book talks about target date funds, mm-hmm. and it says add 10 to 20% small cap value. So put 8 cents out of 10 into the target date fund, another 20%, the other 2 cents out of the dime mm-hmm. goes into the small cap value. Now you've got a more powerful combination because you've added that asset class that has done so well over the last 90 plus years.
Awesome. I think everyone listening doesn't know the next four questions I have, but you just knocked them out in one big swing. Home run is what you got all four bases. So yeah, we can talk about these real quick, but I think what you just said was perfect to wrap this up. Are target date funds too conservative? I think you're touching on the bonds early would mean probably, but like you said, for people who don't want to think about it, it's great.
Can I, before you get to that next question, let me suggest something for you and your listeners. Get rid of those bonds. Say, mm-hmm. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And you build your own target date fund. And for the first 20 years, you put part of the money, put half of the money in the S&P 500. Put the other half in small cap value. Mm-hmm. And just let it rip. Just invest in equities all the time for the next 20, 25 years. And you will learn how to add that bond part later in your life. Because if you can get rid of the bonds, you're going to reward yourself. Mm-hmm. If you add even 10 or 20% in small cap value, you're going to reward yourself, at least based on the past. And just by doing those two things, getting rid of the bonds for those first 20 years, adding the small cap value, you have literally added over $1 million to your retirement from everything we know about the past. But you got to do it when you're young.
Yep. Yeah, that's perfect. I love that. Take it out of the targeted fund and build your own with just stock funds that are abroad, like small cap, like you said, or the S&P 500 or total market. I love that because it's really as simple as that. I think all these different apps make it out to be this complex, choose your stocks, put your money in, like sit and watch your phone all day, watch your notifications. It's just not worth it.
Well, there's no evidence that trading the market works. Mm-hmm. Not a bit, not 1 ounce of evidence. In fact, all the evidence is just the opposite. Very few traders make any money on their trading. And so I, you know, to the extent that you get this right, and there are so few things that you have to know, it frees you time to not worry about it. And by the way, I'm sure you shared this with your viewers, and that is, the better we understand financial matters, the higher the probability that we will have a successful marriage.
Yeah, money is a common thing in marriages.
Understand that together. Now, I think you mentioned, and when I watched your first recording, that your wife is involved, but not very much, not a lot. I will tell you, I would like your wife to be involved to the extent that she understood how bad things are going to be sometimes right now, because we know how bad they've been in the past. We make that very clear in our fine-tuning tables. You take this much risk, here's the kind of risk you're going to have to, and losses you're going to have to live with as you go through this process, so that when things aren't going as expected, and that's the problem in life, when things don't happen as expected, we start becoming uncomfortable. I want her to be ready to be comfortable and to understand this is just a normal day at work as an investor.
Yeah. And I think one, my wife and I have come a long way in the last 2 years. So I'm sure that'll make you happy to hear. We're a lot more involved. One thing that I think changed kind of how we approach it is a written plan has helped us a lot with telling her to say, hey, here's what we're doing. We're keeping the investing simple. And then showing the account for people that are married, like look at the account together and be like, here's why this is okay. Here's why this dip right now makes sense. And kind of explain that a little bit rather than just say, oh, our net worth went down a couple $100s because we have some money invested. Like, show and talk about it. Keep it simple. I think keeping it just in these funds is going to make it a whole lot easier to talk about your investing strategy to a spouse.
Well, and I think it's also, it's difficult to understand that when you put in your first $1,000 and at the end of the year, the market is up 10%, you now have $1,100 theoretically. You are responsible for the thousand. The hundred came from the market. The market hardly made any difference. I mean, that's the way it feels. You did all the hard work. And it really isn't for 5 or 10 years that you really start to get the feeling that the market is doing what it's supposed to do. But it is doing well if it makes 10% or 12% or 15%. It's producing great returns. It just doesn't feel like it because you put up all this dough. But later on, you'll be putting in a little bit and it will be growing a lot. And it's no different. It's still the same 10%, but it's you having built the foundation from which to leverage yourself to that next level where the market's making you more money than the work that you're doing. That's certainly true for me. Here I am at age 80, I don't make anything. I don't get paid a penny for what I do. And yet I'm getting all the money I need to live on from the investments I made a long time ago. And that is the way it is supposed to work.
Yeah, that's so much fun. Just dreaming about that point sounds awesome. It does require some upfront work and that foundation, like you said. But yeah, I think our last few remaining questions have been answered through this episode. But I'd love, if you have anything else you'd love to share, feel free. We can talk about it for a moment. Or if you want to share how people can find you, that's awesome as well.
Well, I mean, at paulmerriman.com is where you can get the free books and the free recommendations and the free portfolios and all the work that we do. But I just want to focus on the point that the key is to control what you can control. What I love is that the foundation of all of this comes from your investments, which means you control whether you take a second job to make the money, to make sure you max out your 401k or max out your IRA. You have that control. Your spending habits, you have that control. You have the control whether you buy an actively managed or an index fund. That's you in control. You control how much you put in stocks and bonds. There are these things you absolutely control, and the rest you just have to leave to the long term and hope that the system itself survives. Because at the end of the day, Skyler, this is a faith-based process. Because I can't tell you about tomorrow. You may get back to me next year or next month and say, would you come back on again and find, oh, damn, he died. You know, I mean, this is what happens. Things change. And so we control what we can as long as we can. And hopefully you learn how to give money away and you learn how to enjoy it. And one more piece of advice. I hope you oversave so that when you retire, you have more than you need, not for reasons of greed, mm-hmm. but because of the life things that happen in life. It's good to have more than you need just in case things don't always work out like you expected. So I wish you well, Skyler, you and your wife and your podcast and all that you're doing. It's a pleasure to have a chance to work with you. Let me know when I can help again. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on, everyone. Thank you for listening to this interview. Make sure you check out Paul's content at paulmerriman.com. Of course, anything you mentioned, I'll have in the show notes. But Paul, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Skyler. Good luck.
Like Paul mentioned in today's episode, we're talking millions, just like his book title that you can find in the show notes, but we're talking a lot of money and a lot of potential. If you're young like me, you have a lot of time and a lot of potential for your investments to start growing and keep growing. And if you're older than me, you still have a lot of time and potential. So get your money invested, take the advice that Paul was giving on today's episode, consider it, weigh it, and figure out how you're going to go forward. One of the things that I took away is that I likely don't need any bonds in my portfolio, which leads us perfectly into the money talking points that I want to talk about really quick. The first money talking point is how can I get started with investing today? Keep it simple. I have previous podcast episodes about keeping it simple, and it's really not that hard. Go with a total market index fund or an S&P 500 index fund, and then take the advice that Paul gave and sprinkle in some small cap value to really like help your earnings grow and keep going. So keep it simple. Keep it all in stocks, especially if you're young, which is the second money talking point. Do I need any bonds in my portfolio? For me, the answer is no. For anyone my age or around my age, the answer is likely no. From the interview today, I definitely learned that I don't need to head down that route with bonds. And honestly, I would even say for me, it's almost more risky for me to put money in bonds because down the road, I'm going to have less money available for me. But let's wrap up today's episode next. Today's episode is going in the Money Talk with Skyler Fleming Hall of Fame. Thank you so much to Paul Merriman for coming on today's episode. Like I mentioned, look for his information for his website and his book in the show notes. I've included links to both, and his book is called We're Talking Millions. I know I'm going to go check it out after recording this, and you should go check it out after listening to this episode. But consider after today's episode how you can be more invested in stocks and how you can set up your foundation to allow yourself to have more money than you really need down the road so you can be generous and really get whatever comes toward you because you're going to have so much money and opportunity that today's strategy and getting started is going to allow you. So make sure you get started now. But please remember to check out Money Talk with Skyler Fleming on YouTube. There's video versions of this podcast, and there's also some more videos made specifically for YouTube that I'm working on in the coming months. So head over to YouTube and subscribe. And of course, subscribe to this podcast on whatever podcast player you like to listen on. And thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skyler Fleming. I'm your host, Skyler Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skyler Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.